A very pleasant good afternoon. We're glad that you are able to join us today, and we hope and pray that this program will be meaningful to you as we go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. We want you to call in your question right now so that we might be able to deal with it on the air, and we promise we will go to the Bible so that you will not be listening to us, but you will be listening to what God has to say directly from His Word. So the number to call for the questions, the voice line, is 308-9564. Or if you'd rather, you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283. We are happy to be able to be of service to you, and we hope and pray that you will be blessed by our efforts today as we go to the Bible for the answers. What's unique about this program, ladies and gentlemen, is you set the topic, you set the theme, but God is the one who gives the answer. We'll go directly to the Bible for those answers, and we are happy to be able to share with you those answers. One thing for certain, we do not want to leave this life unprepared to meet our Creator. So the only way that we can be prepared is to know what He expects of us. So why do you delay? Go ahead and join us right now. This is a live broadcast. We're here in the radio studio waiting on your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the voice line. If you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283. We also have a radio program. Chuck, tell them about our radio broad website, that is.
Yeah, the website is going to be www.biblealone.com, biblealone.com. And we have a lot of information listed on that website. There is past radio broadcasts. You can have downloaded and listen to the former broadcasts we've had throughout the years. There's a lot of free Bible study material where you have various studies that you can go through to help you get a more in-depth understanding of specific subjects concerned in God's Word. So there's a lot of good information on there. And you can sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, as well as being able to listen to this broadcast live streaming by clicking the live streaming link. So there's a lot of information on the website. And once again, everything we offer you is absolutely free. We will never ask you for any kind of financial assistance. Never, ever, ever, Lord willing. We just want to continue to give to you the treasure that is contained within the Scriptures. There is treasure. There is a valuable treasure in God's Word that is contained that can help you. It helps us all get to heaven by obeying God and learning what God's Word says, how He would have us to live so that we can be pleasing in His sight. That's our goal. That is why we are here on the radio program. That is why we give you God's Word to the answers that are questions, to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. And you can do that by calling in. Area code 843-308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. You can have your question written down and brought in to us, or you can ask your question live over there if you would like. That's also available to you. So we want to encourage you to do that. And we also have another avenue for you to send in your questions. We have a text line, which is 843-725-9283. 725-9283. You can text in your questions, as well as we have a Facebook page. The Facebook page, the name of the page is Low Country Church, Low Country, one word, church. And you like that page, and after you like that page, you will be able to send questions in on there if you would like that avenue as well. So we have various different avenues, all centered around you. We want you to be blessed through this broadcast. We want you to be blessed through this program to get the questions answered that are on your heart and on your mind. Please go ahead and send in your questions, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have a texter texting in this question that says, soon after marrying for the second time, a person comes into biblical truths regarding marriage and realizes they were not a candidate for remarriage. should they leave their second marriage? Well, that is probably one of the most difficult situations we find people getting themselves into. What we fail to understand as a society is that God is the one that binds two together. Marriage was created in Genesis chapter 2, where a man was told to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what God hath joined together, Jesus adds this in Matthew chapter 19, he says, what God hath joined together, let no man separate. Well, we see that that is what God's intent is for marriage, one man with one woman for life. Unfortunately, man does complicate the matter when they start going to multiple marriages, and that was even done in the New Testament. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus meeting this woman at the well, and in the process of the discussion, he tells her to go tell her husband to come here for the answer that she was seeking, and she responds by saying, I have no husband. And Jesus says, well, you have well said that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you are now with is not your husband, in that you have truly spoken. So God recognizes what we do in our day-to-day affairs, especially when it comes down to marriage and divorce and remarriage. So God understands what we're going through, but what he intended from the beginning was one man with one woman for life. That was his intent. Yes, I know in the Old Testament that was violated as well. In Acts chapter 17, it says, in the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And so that's what he told the woman that was taken in adultery, that was thrown at Jesus's feet, to do. Go and sin no more. In other words, repent. In order to repent of a sexual activity, one has to stop practicing that sexual activity. In that case, it would be adultery. And so there's your answer. Repentance means we stop the sin that is wrong. And so that is what needs to be done, and that was in order for us to show ourselves approved unto God. If we do not repent, we shall all likewise perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. So God's intent for marriage, again, is very clear. And what we are supposed to do in doing it God's way, because marriage is an institution ordained by God. And so if we're not willing to let him be in the center and the whole motivation of our marriage, well, we're missing the mark, which, by the way, is a definition of sin. Thank you so much for your question. That is from the last four digits of 9919. Thank you for your question, and we sure appreciate you calling in. Even though that is a touchy situation, we understand how very vital it is for people to know what they're doing when they enter into a marriage in bringing God into this situation. And so thank you again. Again, the number, if you have a question, you can call in. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
You know, everything we try to do on this program, we want to do it to glorify God. All the different avenues that we try to encourage you to take advantage of, whether it's just simply listening to the broadcast, whether it's following along with us in your Bibles as we go through the passages, as we answer the questions, but especially as we encourage you to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. That is an endeavor that we really encourage you to do, and we want you to take advantage of that. There are so many in the Tri-County area, literally dozens and dozens, upwards to hundreds, throughout the years that this broadcast has been on the air, that we have had the pleasure of actually sitting in front of and meeting face to face. And if you would like a face to face Bible study, that's also something that we want to encourage you to take advantage of. If you want to be able to learn some more and for us just to come and discuss certain things and how to help you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your service to the Lord, that glorifies God. And so that's what we would like to do. So if you're interested in a personal one-on-one Bible study, we can meet at your home or somewhere in public if whichever you prefer. That's something that we also would encourage you to do. And you can make that available to yourself as we leave that opportunity open. We want to encourage you to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. And we're gonna encourage you to do that. James, would you be able to tell the people a little bit about it, please?
Did you know that hell was not made for man, but for the devil? And Jesus went to prepare a place for mankind in heaven, but it is our choice of where we spend eternity. God will not force his will on any of us. The devil is real. He is called the God of this world, the deceiver of the whole world, and described as cunning. He is busy. What if by his efforts you have been led to believe that you are saved and have a right relationship with God, yet the Bible says that you're still outside of Christ and still in your sins? Would you want to know that? I would. Why live with a question in your heart? Seek the truth and know God's will for you. Why not choose to learn the truth of where we stand before God before we leave this life? Why not let God show us the way and know the truth, why we can correct our path so we can walk in his way? How many times have we missed an opportunity to get our life straightened out? Don't miss out again. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. But if we miss heaven, we lose everything. Go ahead and call 553-5157 and enroll in this free Bible course and let God take control of your life. Again, the number is 553-5157. If busy, please hang up and try again. You will never regret letting God enrich your life by learning his path, what his path is all about. Once you have enrolled, call us here at the station with your questions that you would like answered on today's live program. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283. Now let us return to Let the Bible Speak.
Thank you, James. We appreciate that. This is trying to help him to help us to be able to get this information out. There are so many today that are out there listening that really need to know about the things in God's Word because they're just not all being taught. And if we leave this life without knowing what God expects of us, well, we're asking for trouble. And so thank you, James, for sharing that information with us. And we've got to make certain that we are prepared to meet God on that day, because there are so many things that are vital that if we do not know, we will stand not ready to meet God one day. So don't miss out on this. Go ahead and get the Bible Correspondence Course. If you've never received it in the mail, don't hesitate to call right now, 553-5157, and it'll be in the mail to you this week. We literally have thousands that have responded and that have received this, and no one has ever been charged or even expected to give any kind of donation. We're just happy to share with you the riches in God's Word. So don't miss out on this. 553-5157, and you will be able to get this course, this study, to get into your own Bible and find those answers that pertain to life and godliness. One more time. That number is 553-5157. 553-5157. So we look forward to sending that to you in the mail, and we hope and pray it will be a blessing to you. And now, if you have a question, don't hesitate to call in. Our voice line is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Chuck, I believe you have a question from last week.
Yeah, we wanted to address this from last week. A caller called at the end of the broadcast, and we had to postpone answering their question until this week. And they asked about a passage in Scripture that talked about the people not being my anointed. And we looked and we searched, and there's just not a passage of Scripture that is using that phrase about these people not my anointed. So we just wanted to let them know that. And also, I wanted to use that as an admonition for all of those listening now. Don't wait until the end of the broadcast to call in your question. Go ahead and call in your question right now. Don't wait, because, you know, oftentimes the lines fill up at the end of the broadcast and we aren't able to get your question in the same week. And so, And a lot of times we're not even 100% sure if the person who called in the question the previous week was able to hear the answer to the question the next week. So don't fall into that possibility. Go ahead, call in your questions now. Text them in. Do whatever you need to do. Get your questions in so we can go to God's words for the answers, and you will be blessed with that. The number, 308-9564, or that's the call in the question, and to text in your question is 725-9283.
And we will go directly to the Bible for the answer to the questions that you ask. For example, here's a text question that just came in. Their last three digits of their number are 834. He says, "Hello, my name is Tim. Do we have to tithe? And if not, who will take care of the bills of the church?" That's a great question. We sure do appreciate it, Tim. And that is something that a lot of people wonder, because you hear us get in the Bible each week and point out how that the tithing was something that was practiced in the Old Testament. And it was something that was done even actually before Moses' time. We have an example of a tithe or a tenth was given to Melchizedek. And here in the Old Testament, we see that there was a command of tithing, and that was to be done to those in that time in that nation of Israel, and those tithes were supposed to be given to the Levites for the temple service. Now, by the way, before I go into the other verses about how it applies today, if you want more information on this, you can go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, and then go to the Bible study materials part of that. You'll see that that's a button, especially if you're on a regular computer. If you're on a mobile device, then hit the desktop view, and then you'll see all of those things open up, and you'll be able to download materials on that subject for a complete study of tithing and the way it was practiced in the Old Testament. And so that's where you can get it. That is www.BibleAlone.com. And then go to the Bible study materials and feel free to print out and study and use that as much as you would like, Tim. And so now let's deal with what your question is talking about. Well, where's the money supposed to come from that the church is to operate by? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, as he's prospered, that there be no collections when I come." And so there was a collection especially earmarked for the needy saints in the Judean area in Israel, and so they were giving this money to those individuals, those saints that were going to be in a drought, in a famine, and this was done there in 1 Corinthians 16. Also, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we see more information on that, and we see a number of others that are referenced as well, and so that's where that money is used, and how it was used and how it was gathered on the first day of the week. Now, also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see there Paul saying that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so those who have benefited from the teaching of God's word, they are supposed to share. Galatians 6:6 says, "Share with those who teach in all good things." Galatians 6 and verse 6. So there's three passages, that is 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 2 chapters, 8 and 9, and then also Galatians 6 and verse 6, as well as 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. So there are four passages for you to help you with your answer, Tim, and we're glad that you asked that question. Many times we just answer the tithing part, and that leaves people wondering, well, where does the money come from? Thank you so much for your question, and you are to be honored for your desire to know what the Bible says. Thank you again for your question. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Chuck? We have Kendall calling in this question. Kendall, thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling your question. Kendall's question is on the harmonization of two passages in Rome. One is Romans chapter 2, verse 13, and the other is Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Well, first I'll kind of just read the passages there. Romans chapter 2, 13 says, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God," that word just meaning righteous or good, "but doers of the law will be justified." And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Well, first of all, when you see the phrase the law as mentioned multiple times in the book of Romans here, that is talking about the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. He's talking about how there was a lot of thou shalt and thou shalt not, a lot of do this, a lot of do that. And so when he mentions in 2:13 that not the hearers of the law will be justified, but the doers of the law, he's talking about those who are obedient to the commandments of God. So being obedient to the what God commanded. And then when he mentions over here about in chapter 3 and verse 20, that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. There is a separation of people doing the law to just to do it versus actually doing the law because of God. Now, what I mean by that is, can be cleared up in Romans chapter 6 in verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." See, the difference is the obedience from the heart. That's what God has always wanted. God has always wanted the obedience to be from the heart. He wanted true and genuine love and obedience towards him. Not just people doing what the law said out of rote or out of habit. He wanted a heart connection to what the law said, similar to what David said in Psalm 119 and verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11, David says through the Holy Spirit, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." It's a connection of God's word, obeying God's word because of your love for Christ, because of your love for God, not just doing it just to do it, but you're doing it because of love. It's that connection. That's the difference between these two passages. And that's what many of the Jews in the time of the Mosaic law, that's how they were keeping the law. They were keeping the law of Moses as just a checkbook. They were keeping the law of Moses as just doing it just to do it. And their hearts were not connected to it. And it was not done out of love, reverence, and obedience for God. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Kendall, as well as anyone else who may have had that type of question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564.
And you know, many times their attitudes are addressed, and sometimes our religious friends will equate the word law to the bad attitude that they had toward that law in the first century. And for example, the Pharisees, oh, they knew the law. Many, matter of fact, some of them were called lawyers. It's not talking about the lawyers that we have today, but they were experts in the law of God. And so because they were experts, they got high and mighty and philosophical, and many times people were put off by their self-righteous attitude, and Jesus dealt with them over and over and over again because of that. And so that was equated many times as well in their Jesus dealing with them and how they approached the law of God. And it says that you've made the law of God in vain because of your traditions, your applications of those things. And so, but there again, the law was what was nailed to the cross, the law of Moses. And thus we are not going to be judged by that law of Moses today. However, if we have the same attitude that they had, well, yeah, we're going to be in trouble. And so he addresses that in Romans chapter 2 as in the middle of that discussion that you had. Thanks, Chuck. And thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate you taking out time to find out what God's Word has to say on that subject. We appreciate it. And by the way, if you also go to our website, BibleAlone.com, you will see a discussion of Old Testament, New Testament there as well. And so BibleAlone.com, you'll find a list of verses dealing with that. And so thank you so much. We sure appreciate it. Now, the voice line is available. Matter of fact, the man is sitting there just grinning, standing there just grinning, just daring you to go ahead and call so he can give us your question. 308-9564. By the way, his name is Jared, if you want to talk to him by name. 308-9564, and he's our operator standing by today. Or you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. And so go ahead and call right now, and you'll be able to get your question in. We really want you to be very mindful of, though, that there is a way for you to get into your own Bible and study for yourself the things that pertain to life and godliness and have your own faith. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And so that way you can see it for yourself and know for yourself that it is what God wants of you, of me. And so unless we have that kind of relationship and understanding, then we're going to be lacking in knowledge of what God wants us to be and to do. And so we have James standing by to tell us more about that. And it is very important that you go ahead and call the number 553-5157 to get this course on its way to you this week. And we're happy to share it with you free of charge. And so, James, tell the radio audience more about that.
Yes, sir. If you would like to study and learn God's Word with a Bible correspondence course free of charge, please call 553-5157 to enroll. We will get lesson one on its way to you right away. That's 553-5157. Go ahead and enroll and discover vital information that has always been in God's Word and that you may have never heard of before. Denominational sources cannot allow the whole truth to be taught because of the doctrinal restrictions of their faith. It is possible the God of this world, the devil, has effectively blinded the spiritual leaders in order to keep the truth from getting out to the people? History is full of such examples. After all, was it not the spiritual leaders that delivered Jesus to be crucified? In Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So should we let God himself establish our faith as we study directly from his word and not by man's word? Should we not let God speak to us through his word? That number is 553-5157. The result of such restricted teaching is that many who think they are safe and on their way to heaven may in fact still be lost in their sin. Ask yourself, have you ever read in your Bible about denominational divisions or denominational names in the Bible? Shouldn't we let the Bible speak now while we have a chance to correct our course to the straight and narrow path that Jesus revealed for us to walk in his word? Go ahead and call 553-5157, enroll in this free course. Let God speak directly from his word to show us the true path that leads to heaven. Again, that number is 553-5157. Call now. If it's busy, hang up, and in a few moments, hit redial, and you should be able to get through. Again, that's 553-5157. Now, if you have questions that you want answered live from God's Word, call 308-9564, 308-9564, or by cell phone, you can text 725-9283, 725-9283.
Thank you, James. We appreciate that very much. Again, there's a lot of various teachings. You can see that in our study today. When these questions are coming in, there's a lot of different things that are being taught out there, and people want to know the answers to. And the way to begin that journey of finding the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. And thus, you can study that anytime you want to, day or night, and whenever you desire. It is not a matter of having to tune in on a Sunday afternoon. You can study that in the morning, in the evening, and even in the middle of the night. And to get that course in the mail to you, all you have to do is to call 553-5157. And thus, after you get it, you study it, you fill it out, you send it back to us in the mail, where we will grade it. And then we will send the graded lesson back to you along with the next two lessons. And then when you get those, you study those at your own convenience, take your own time, and looking up every passage to make certain whether those things are so. Then when you fill that out, you send it back to us. We'll grade those, and which we will then send them back to you, graded, along with the next three lessons. And thus that finishes the first course. And we have other courses even after that. So don't miss out on getting this to you, 553-5157. And thus you'll be able to study on your own and find all those answers that we need to know about before we leave this life. Chuck, I believe you've got the next question.
Yeah, we have a text question. The texter sends in asking about Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. They want to know, is this more than just all caps verbally calling on the name of the Lord? So they're emphasizing and wanting to know, is Romans 10:13 talking about calling on the Lord? Is this more than just verbally calling on the name of the Lord and saying Jesus? That is a great, great question. First, I'll read you Romans 10:13. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, calling on the name of the Lord, yes, it is more than verbal. It's a lot more than verbal. It has to be coupled with obedience. Obedience to God's commands, obedience to God's word is what calls on his name. We see that in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22 dealing with Saul the apostle, well, later called Paul the apostle. And so in Acts chapter 9, he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was blinded, and Ananias had to come to him that he would receive his sight. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, that Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately scales fell from his eyes, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized. And then let's go over to Acts chapter 22, that where Paul is giving a recounting of this situation here. And he says in Acts chapter 22, in the same way, talking about Ananias, one of the things that Ananias said to him in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, what Ananias said to him was, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The way he was calling on the name of the Lord was obedience to God's word. It wasn't just a verbal just saying the name of Jesus. It was obedience to God's word. That's how we call on the name of the Lord. We obey his word. And in that same chapter, Romans chapter 10, where you asked that question, you see there's a progression of this teaching that he does there. After he says that in verse 13 about calling on the name of the Lord, he actually goes on and says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you have to believe in him in order to call on him. Well, how shall they believe in whom have they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet to those who preach the gospel of peace. And he goes on. And then verse 16, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. See, obedience is included in calling upon the name of the Lord. And so he goes on, continues with that chapter. So just wanted to point that out. But calling on the name of the Lord, yes, it is more than verbal. It is obedience to the word of God. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. What been told, we have a live caller. What's the name? Ken?
All right. We've got Ken standing by to go live. We're trying to push all the buttons and get you on the air. So, Ken, go ahead and ask your question. See if we can hear you. We can't hear you yet. Well, hold on a second. We're trying to get you there. Ken, are you there? Go ahead and say something. Ken, are you there? Okay, we must have lost him. Call back and we'll get you on the air. We're sorry that it took so long, and hopefully we'll get all the buttons in the right place the next time. So go ahead and call back if you don't mind. In the meantime, we want everyone to be aware of this as a live broadcast, as you can see. We are doing our best to make certain that you get your question on the air, and either written down and brought into us, like some of the previous questions, or yet they can you can go live on the air. The only thing we ask if you want to go live on the air is that we give a you give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down as we talk with you, because there will be an echo and feedback and all kind of problems, and we do not want any kind of confusion to take place on the program. That's the whole purpose of this program, is to create peace, not confusion. And the only way that we can have true peace is to listen only and exclusively to the Prince of Peace. And so we will just go to the Bible for those answers. We have Linda that has called in this question. Miss Linda says she knows what Paul says about women not being pastors, and she's referring to Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, how that those overseers, pastors, shepherds, they're supposed to be the husband of one wife. And so she says she knows that already, which is very good. I'm glad to hear people are studying in God's Word. Then her question continues. She wants to know if that means women should not be the head of the church. Well, I don't know if you meant by that as the Bible talks about, but the Bible refers to none of us are supposed to be head of the church. Jesus brings out that all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is the only head, and we are all brethren. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 7, it brings out, don't even call anyone rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. So we're all equal. There are no big I's and little U's in the church, in the kingdom of God. He's the king, he's the head, and he's been given head over all things to the church, which is his body. So it's no one here has any authority save what Jesus is saying. And so that's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. Now, as far as teaching over a man, now there is a verse that talks about that. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 or verse 12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Well, there you got it. And the verse right before that says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. So we see the idea there, concept. Now, that is not a detriment or an insult or a put down to women at all, but it is rather a system of protection that God has put in order. Matter of fact, the next couple of verses even references Adam and what happened in the garden. And so we can see that this started from the beginning, where Eve was, in essence, hung out to dry because Adam was standing right beside her the whole time she had her exchange with the devil. And so he should have protected her. He didn't. Now the responsibility, the buck, the one that's going to be the one out front to be attacked is to be men. And that's the whole purpose behind that statement there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. So thank you so much, Miss Linda. We're glad that you called in your question, and we hope that is helpful to you and hope you have been blessed from what God says in his word. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. That is the voice line where your question can be brought into us, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Or if you have a question that you would like to text us, you can do that simply by texting with your cell phone to 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Chuck?
You know, there's a lot of things going on nowadays that would cause you a little bit of stress. We have a lot of life situations that cause us stress. We have a lot of just world situations, things going on in the world that cause unrest. But you know, for the child of God, it is okay. It is okay for you to be comfortable in all this. As a matter of fact, it's more than okay. It's commanded for you to be comfortable in all this. It is expected of you to be comfortable in all of this, despite the things going on in this world. Well, you may ask, how is that even possible? Is that doable? is that something that is just kind of a fairy tale? Well, no, it most certainly is not. It is definitely something that you can have. If you look at Hebrews chapter 13, it's one of those verses that Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 is one of those things that show you how you can have that peace and comfort despite all the situations in life that you may be facing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." That's one of those passages that helps you to focus on Jesus, to think about no matter what's going on in this world, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. That does nothing going on in this world changes the fact that Jesus is sitting in heaven preparing a mansion, an empty mansion for you, waiting on you to come to him, whether the time he calls you back or the time he comes back to judge. He is waiting, and right now he's at the right hand of God, sitting on the throne, ruling as king. So it doesn't matter what you're going on, what's going on in your life, what kind of stresses that you may have, whether it's health and physical, whether it's wealth and financial instability, whether it's a family member who's struggling with sin, whether it's you who's struggling with sin and bad decisions in your life, whether it's your career, it's just not going right. You don't have the job that you wanted. Whether it's school, those grades are not where you want them to be. Whatever the case may be, whatever you have in your life does not stop the fact, does not change the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead through the power of God. And because of that, you have the opportunity for salvation. Every other thing in this world that causes you stress and pain, it's temporary. Everything in this world is only temporary, is but for a short time. There's only one thing that's not temporary, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. So focus more on the one thing that's eternal, your relationship with Christ, rather than letting these temporary things to discourage you. Let your eyes be focused on heaven. Let your heart and your mind be focused on Christ. The Bible Correspondence Course is one of those things that can really help you with that. And so we want to encourage you a little bit about that.
Did you know that you are very important to God? So important that God allowed his only son to become a man, to become flesh and blood, to provide a way for man to come to heaven. It was very expensive and costly. God's love for man was so extreme that he sent his only son to become a blood sacrifice that we might have a chance to live with him in heaven. To soften man's heart, he demonstrated his love by showing how much he was willing to suffer for us. By his stripes, we can be healed. His love was vividly demonstrated by his brutal torture and crucifixion. This opened the door for man to be saved from his sins and give us hope. His suffering hopefully opens our hearts to gratefully respond to his plea to join him. Unfortunately, most churches do not teach all of what we should do to accept his forgiveness. With only part of the instructions given, it still leaves man in his sin, and the blood that was shed to wash away our sins may never be applied for our salvation, which leaves us still lost. So what is missing? Would it surprise you to know that baptism into Christ is part of God's instructions? The answers have always been right there in God's word. The day the church began, it was practiced and taught, but not so much today. And would you be surprised to know that there is no such thing as a sinner's prayer in the Bible? Find answer in God's word. Enroll in the Bible course today. Call 553-5157. 553-5157. God will not force his will on any of us. He expects us to seek, knock, and ask. Why live with a question in our heart? Go ahead, ask for the Bible course. Call 553-5157 and enroll in this free Bible course and let God take control of your life. So seek now while we have a chance to correct our course and find the way to heaven as we let God direct our path. So go ahead, call 553-5157, enroll in this free course. Again, that number is 553-5157. Call now. If busy, hang up, and in a few moments, he'll redial, and you should get through. Again, that's 553-5157. Now, if you have any questions and want answered on today's broadcast, please call 308-9564 for the Bible voice line, or text your question by cell phone to 725-9283. Now, let your chance to find out what God has to say from his word.
All right. Thank you, James. We sure appreciate that. We are thankful that all of you that have enrolled already, and we hope and pray that it is of benefit to you and that we might be able to share with you the riches of God's word through the Bible Correspondence Course. And again, if you want to enroll in that, that number is 553-5157. There, you can get through right now. There's no problem. 553-5157, and the course will be in the mail to you this week. We have Ken calling back, and being that we couldn't get him on the air, we had his question brought in to us. And Ken is asking about what the Pharisees were taught and how did they fall short of understanding about Jesus being the Messiah. If Ken wants further clarity, he can call back in if he wants to, and we're glad to put you on the air. Well, that is a great question, and believe it or not, Ken, I don't think anyone has ever asked that question before, and so I am thrilled to be able to get it. Thank you so much. That shows the depth of your thinking and your desire to know more about God's Word, because it was certainly a problem in the first century. Matter of fact, just give you a couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 15, and we see Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and scribes in chapter 15, and he deals with them very harshly because of their behavior. He says in verse 2, here's their question to him, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders and do not wash their hands when they eat? And Jesus responds back to them, why do you transgress the commandments of God, not the elders, but God, by your traditions? And then he gives an illustration in verse 4 of how they dealt with their parents, and how the way they dealt with that law of God and made it of none effect. He says in verse 5, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit it might be to you is dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father and mother. Well, who gave them the right to say something like that? Well, certainly not God. And then Jesus says, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. They were called Pharisees back then. Today, there's a lot of other titles that man has come up with, who is also doing just the same kind of damage to God's word in the pulpits across the land today. Ladies and gentlemen, when God speaks, we do not have the right to amend, change, twist, or negate at all. When God says something, it is. He is the only authority that there is, and we should be listening to him. But Ken, you wanted to know more information. I would recommend that you read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 2. And you will, and I hope you have a pencil and piece of paper. I'm about to give you the outline of it. And so Romans chapter 2, we see broken down in clear, unfortunately unglorified way that they treated the law of God. In verse 1 and 2, we see their hypocritical judgment of others. In verse 3, we see them forgetting God's judgment was going to be applied to them as well. In verse 4, they misinterpreted God's patience with them. And then verses 4 through 10, They never even thought that they had to repent. It was these ugly, mean dogs called sinners of the world. And we can see their attitude expressed there. Verses 12 through 13, they did not think that they were not doing. They were just hearers of the word, and they didn't think they had to do it. And then verses 17 through 24, they were totally shocked with the information that they had to yield to what God says. And then verses 25 through 29, you see the attitude of how that they were judging others by externals. So we can see there the breakdown was that they became a law unto themselves, and that's exactly what we have going on today, Ken, unfortunately. Well, the whole purpose of this program is let the Bible speak, and that's why we're going to just go to the Bible for all the answers. So I highly recommend that you read an intricate study of Romans chapter 2, and you'll find full information on your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564. That is the voice line. And the text line?
725-9283. 725-9283 is the number to text in your questions, and we will go to God's word for the answers. You know, unfortunately, there is a lot of misinformation out there nowadays, and there is passages in the scriptures where God really lets us know how he feels about wrong information. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the Holy Spirit says through John, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." He gives that admonition, that warning, to let them know and to let us know that everything, just because it sounds good, doesn't mean it's right. There is a right and wrong. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father but through me." So there is only one truth. What is truth? John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is truth. That's how we can test the spirits, whether they are of God. And I've been told we have a live caller by the name of Darnell.
Darnell, yes, I believe Darnell is standing by to go live. Hopefully we'll be more successful at getting you on the air than the last time. So, Darnell, go ahead and give us your question.
Yes.
Hooray, we can hear you.
I've been told that Adam and Eve was the first humans on earth, and they had Cain and Abel.
Yes.
Or after Cain smited Abel, Cain had a talk with God about himself being a fugitive, unless anyone find him would kill him. And the Lord said that if anyone finds you, kill you, vengeance would be taken out on them sevenfold. Well, then Cain went to the land of Nod, and he got a wife, mm-hmm. and that's when they had Enoch. Well, I'm trying to figure out where this other woman came from. If Adam mm-hmm. and Eve was the only man and woman on earth, especially Eve being the only woman, where did this other woman exist?
Well, we know that all living human beings came from Eve. She's the mother of all humanity. That is clearly brought out there in the first few chapters of Genesis. And so where did all these other folks live? Well, think about it. If you were to be under command of God, that you produce and multiply, and let's say that you lived 500 years. Now, many of them lived up into the 900s back then. In 500 years, how many children could you have?
Have quite a bit.
Yeah. And how many children could they have?
Quite a bit.
And then the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and seventh and eighth generation, ninth, maybe even 10 generations would be all alive at the same time. So where do you think the other people came from? Well, there was a lot of people that were born into the world before even the first ones started dying of natural causes. Matter of fact, it may surprise you that just a few generations after Adam was Methuselah, and Methuselah lived till the year of the flood, where all humanity except eight souls perished. And so Methuselah would have met Adam. So in essence, as we might think about generations, there was only two generations, but a generation lasted for 900 years before the flood. So everything, both human, animal, insect, plants, everything lived before the flood about 10 times longer. So if you can live 10 times as long, and we're under command of God to populate the earth, oh yeah. We had a mathematician one time on the program start calculating at the beginning of the program and found out what he could come up with before the end of the program, and he had come up with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people would have been alive before Adam ever died at 930 years. So, needless to say, there was a lot of possibilities for Cain. Now you might say, well, somebody would have had to marry their sister. You're exactly right. But that law of you cannot marry your family did not come from God until the time of Moses, which was thousands of years later. So that was not a law of a prohibition from God to marry close relatives until the time of Moses. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Just to clarify, so there is possibly another woman in the picture before Eve.
No. Eve is the mother of all living. The mother of all living. She produced Adam and Eve. I mean, she produced Cain and Abel and Seth and umpteen other children. They were under command. We only have those three men that are mentioned. But there were plenty of other sisters and probably many other brothers because she lived hundreds of years. And so under command of God, they were supposed to have children often. And so there were any number of sisters that Cain could have married.
Okay.
Make sense? And it didn't have to be a sister. It could have been a cousin, could have been a first cousin, on down the line like that. So there were a lot of people that were born. The Bible does not record every single human being that ever lived because we wouldn't be able to even have such a book as that. And so they had to write those things down. The only ones that are recorded in the Bible are those of significance, usually the lineage of Christ.
Yeah, and Darnell, just to add in to Ricky was saying, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, that's the verse that says, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And then in Genesis chapter 5, in verse, verse 3, yeah, Adam lived 130 years and begot a son after his own likeness and named him Seth. And then Seth, after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. That's Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4. So God's word doesn't specify the specific number of sons and daughters that he had, but as Ricky was pointing out, it had to be hundreds, at least dozens, but it had to be a lot. And then it says in verse 5, so all the days Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And as you continue going on through Genesis chapter 5, where you see the lineage of Adam, it only mentions one son. It keeps going on, and it mentions the next son. But all of those people, they had multiple children, but God was only specifying certain people, certain men, because they would be in the lineage of Christ, to keep track of that.
Does that make sense, Darnell?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your question. That is a fairly common question that people ask, and wonder about that, but they don't take into consideration just how long they lived and that they were under command to populate the earth. And so thank you so much for your question, and thank you for going live.
Yes, sir.
All right, again, the number, if you would like to go live or just have your question brought in to us, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. We're about to tell you about this Bible Correspondence course again, and we make no apology for that because you need to get into the Bible yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we miss out on knowing what God expects of us, do we really have faith in God? Or are we taking somebody else's word for it? Even Darnell, just a minute ago, he started his question by saying, he says, it has been told me. Well, we need to check these things out. We need to make certain whether those things are so. Because if we miss the mark and someone told us wrong and we trust them, oh, wow, We will not have any leg to stand on before God. The moment we start saying, well, my preacher said, God's going to interrupt us and say, where did I tell you to listen to your preacher? Huh? Yeah, we better not, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So let us help you to get into your word, your Bible, so you can know what God says. Again, you can get that Bible correspondence course to you by calling 553-5157. Here's James to tell us more about that. And it's very important that you listen closely and then respond. Get this course to you even this week so you can begin your journey of an eternity and not be caught off by surprise. James, tell us more about it.
We need to be so careful. Everywhere we look today, we see many different churches teaching many different things. But when we look into the Bible, we see Jesus say, I am the way, I am the truth. As he revealed in his word in the New Testament, he speaks of just one faith. Isn't it time to search and find the one way, the one truth, and the one faith? In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So isn't it time to look to God's word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness? We want to send you a free Bible course in the mail. In this correspondence course, you may find it amazing how much you learn, how many things you have never seen before. Isn't it time to listen to what our Creator explains to us about our purpose in this life? The answers have always been in God's Word. Is it possible that our enemy has blinded us from seeing the truth? Is it possible that we have missed important instructions that show us the way to heaven? Don't wait thinking you have time later to learn and change. How many friends and relatives do we know who without notice have left this life to begin their eternal existence somewhere? So go ahead, call 553-5157 for the free Bible correspondence course that we may find the answers each of us need to meet our Creator, because He is the one who will tell us where we spend eternity. And by the way, who better to show us how to put our lives together than the one who designed us to begin with? Let's prepare now. Call 553-5157. Enroll today in the free Bible course to be sent to you right away. If you are interested in hosting a Let the Bible Speak event in your community, please call the operating standing by to make those arrangements as well. 553-5157. If you are already active in the course, wonderful. Then it is your chance to call us with your Bible questions, and we will let the Bible speak with the answer. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us with your cell phone to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We are back live. Thank you so much for that, James. And once again, we can't stress that enough. The Bible Correspondence Course is just a tool to help you grow stronger and stronger in your relationship with Christ, to know His Word for yourself. Once again, that's something else we can't stress enough. That's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak, and we are so adamant about you getting into the Scriptures for yourselves. Don't take our word for it. Look in the word for yourself. God's word is clear, clear. One of the biggest misconceptions that people have about God's word is that, oh, it's so much in it, and it's confusing, and it's just a lot to know. No. There's a large majority of information contained in God's word that God has given us, and it is very simple and straightforward. God says what he means and means what he says. I mean, think about it. In Genesis 1, in the creation story, when God said, let there be light, that's what he meant. He meant that he wanted there to be light. When God created the world, he created the world using his words. He spoke creation into existence. He spoke it and it happened. Likewise, when he didn't speak, nothing happened. God means what he says and he says what he means. So when we go through the scriptures and we show you what God's word says, that's what it means. And we want to be really, really straightforward with you. And that's what the Bible Correspondence Course does. It is just straightforward, book, chapter, verse. It asks you questions. They're easy, simple, yes and no questions. God is not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace, 1 Corinthians 14 says. So his word is straightforward. It's simple. You just got to get in it yourself and understand how simple it is. That's what the Bible Correspondence Course is, and we encourage you to sign up for that. 553-5157. 553-5157. You can sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, and we will have it in the mail to you either tomorrow or Tuesday. We will try to get it out to you as soon as possible. Along with that, we also extend the invitation for a one-on-one Bible study. Once again, you can call that same number, 553-5157. And just at when you leave your information there, let us know on the message that you leave that you would like to have a one-on-one Bible study, face-to-face Bible study. You want to be able to go over God's word with us in person. You let us know, and we will make those arrangements available to you. 308-9564, you have a question, or reach us here at the station, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, we have a texter texting in this question from the last three digits of 113. Thank you so much for your interest in today's program. Their question is, please give me some examples of faith through grace. Well, that is, again, a wonderful, wonderful sentiment from the idea of how does God give us this grace, this unmerited gift? How does he give us this salvation that he wants us to have? Well, as we have already mentioned earlier, that it involves obedience to the word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many times people stop right there, but there, you need to not, because it's still in the middle of a sentence. Let's read it. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there we can see the importance of knowing how to accept that grace by faith. That faith has to be a living faith, working according to his word, to be doers of his word, and not hearers only. James chapter 1 and chapter 2 point that out. Now, if you want some examples, as you ask, then I would encourage you to just read the book of Acts. There's a lot of examples there. And if you want a little help on that, then go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, and then go to the Bible Studies section, Bible Study Materials section, and you will see there, about halfway down the list, a list of conversions in the book of Acts. Sometimes the book of Acts is called the book of conversions because that's where most of the conversions are referred to. So you're welcome to that. You can print that out and give it away. Do whatever you want to. You're welcome to it. And that's right there on our website. Again, just go to the Bible Study Materials section of our website, Bible Alone, and then you will find in the list of materials there a list of conversions in the book of Acts. And so go ahead and take that and use it all you like. Thank you so much for wanting to know. Many of the examples are in chapter Acts 2, chapter 8, a couple of examples, chapter 9, chapter 16, a couple of examples there, chapter 22. So we've got to make certain that we do it God's way, and that is the right way to approach it. And thank you so much for your question, that you desire to have those biblical examples so you can show yourself approved unto God. Again, don't miss out on that. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number, if you have a question, call 308-9564.
We have Sheila. Sheila's calling in this question, and she asks about Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. She wants to know, how did Peter, James, and John know they saw Moses and Elijah when Jesus was transfigured? That is a good question, Sheila. I do not know. We haven't the slightest idea. The only thing I can offer you is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says is verse 44, talking about the natural body and spiritual body, he says, it is the body is sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. And then verse 46 says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And then afterward, the spiritual. So that shows a difference between a natural body and a physical body. We know that a physical body, but then God shows us that there is also a heavenly body as well. And coupled with that is Luke chapter 16. It talks about the rich man and Lazarus, where that's another example of someone seeing someone else and recognizing them in the spiritual realm. The rich man and Lazarus both died, and they were taken to separate places. The rich man was taken to Hades to be punished, and the poor man Lazarus was taken to Abraham's bosom. Verse 22 shows that. And then in verse 23, it says, and being in torment in Hades, he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, verse 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in cool in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said to him, son, remember in your lifetime you received good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, you are tormented. So that's another example of similar to the transfiguration, where you saw someone who was living in a time period separate from the people who they saw that was in a heavenly body or in a different realm. So we honestly do not know how Peter, James, and John knew that was Moses and Elijah in Matthew 17, just like we don't really know how the rich man knew that was Lazarus in, Abraham. The rich man, we don't know how he knew that was Abraham in Luke chapter 16. But once again, like 1 Corinthians 15 points out, we know there is a difference between the physical body, which we have here on earth, and a heavenly body or a spiritual body, which we will have in the next life. That's the best that we can give you, that there is a difference. There is a different body that we will have. As far as how to recognize that, we don't know. Hopefully we'll find out one day.
But we can conclude there that there will be some information that will be available to us that we might not be available to us right now, such as how to recognize people. So it sure looks like that it's going to be quite a happy reunion as we meet our loved ones who have gone before us into the heavenly realm, and we'll be able to spend eternity with them without these tents of carnal flesh as we burden ourselves with to even right now. And so those are things that we have to put off one day. We're about to go to our last break. We want you to know that the information we're about to tell you about is very important. It will enable you to remove the blinders that the wicked one may have put on us. That is, there are things that the religious world now, just like we read about those Pharisees earlier, the religious world has put these on us and is preventing us from seeing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We're seeing truth, some truth, and we're seeing some things that may not be true. Well, what we need to do is to just follow truth, the truth that Jesus is. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we want that life. We want that way. We want the way to come home to him. God made heaven for us. He didn't make the hell for us. He made that for the devil and his angels. But it's up to us whether we choose which one. God won't force it upon any of us. So don't miss out on getting this information to you to be able to distinguish between what is truth and what man has come up with. So don't miss out on that. Here's more information on it. While we are at break, while James is telling us about this, please know that you can continue with your questions. I think we're caught up. 308-9564. You'll have the next question to be answered. 308-9564. But if you've never received the course, listen closely to what James has to say.
All right, you are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Finding the answers to life are so important. God made us, and he put us here with an instruction manual. Many products We may buy today, say on the box, some assembly required. We too have some instructions given to us on how to put our lives together. This is one job we cannot bluff our way through. Without his help and instructions, so many of us have tried and failed and wonder, what happened? What has gone wrong? What did I do to mess up? God has the answer on how to understand what happened and how to clean it all up. The world does not. The world is broken and does not even know it. Let God show us how to put our lives together as it should be. So go ahead, please call 553-5157. We will send you this free course in the mail to learn how to prepare for the day when we will meet our Creator as our judge. Again, call right now while the operator is standing by during this program at 553-5157. You may discover things you have never seen before in God's Word. If you are already active in the course, wonderful. Then go ahead and call us with your Bible questions, and we will let the Bible speak with the answer. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us with your cell phone to 725-9283, 725-9283.
That's the text line. You can text that question in right now, 725-9283. And the voice line again is open, 308-9564. So the choice of how to communicate with us is up to you. You set the topic, you set the theme, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Thus, in essence, it is God himself through his word that's giving the answer as we give you book, chapter, and verse. But not to negate the importance of this Bible correspondence course, because you will be learning these things for yourself. You'll have those aha moments when you see in God's Word and you go, oh, I've never seen that before. Have you ever had one of those? Well, you'll have many of them as you get into the Word and be able to find those nuggets of gold and silver, a treasure that will last for an eternity. Why deprive yourself of that by just listening to us? Don't listen to us. Get into the Bible yourself. Go ahead and get the course to you. 553-5157 is how to get it in the mail to you. 553-5157. Leave your name and address, and we will get that mail in the mail to you even this week. And so you can look forward to getting that in the mail, and we are happy to send it to you free of charge. But now this is our last segment of the radio program. Don't miss out on getting your questions in right now. 308-9564, that's the voice line, and we will let the Bible speak. Chuck, you've got the next question.
Yeah, we have Van Hannigan calling in this question. Van Hannigan, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Van Hannigan has a very important question, and it says, how can we be assured that we are saved? How can you reassure yourself of your salvation? Well, you know, Van Hannigan, not sure if you heard earlier, but one of the things I mentioned was about how straightforward and clear and simple God's word is concerning a lot of things. And as far as being saved, or being saved from sin, saved from punishment, saved from death, eternal death and condemnation, that definitely would fall under the things that God wants us to be clear about. Now, there's a couple of passages to look at, Van Hannigan. First of all, I want to make mention of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 that says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. So that verse points out that it's something that you can be sure about without doubting and knowing for sure. So I wanted to throw that in there. And then I wanted to point out 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 7, it says, to give you who are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of our Lord and from the glory of his power. So that separation from God, that eternal separation, that is what we want to be saved from. We want to be saved from an internal separation of us and God. We don't want to be eternally separated from God. We want to be eternally united with God. Now, how can we be sure that we are united with God? Well, there are some verses that show us how we can be sure of that. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it talks about, though you have, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he talks about their obedience. Obedience is another thing that we mentioned earlier about how we must obey God's word. When we are obeying God's word, that's how we can know that we can be sure. And using that specific language of being sure, that's exactly what Peter the apostle was teaching in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He wanted everyone to be sure. So he finishes up what he was speaking to them in Acts chapter 2 in verse 36. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. That means be 100% positive, absolute sure, no doubts. What does he want them to know assuredly? That God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the people responded in verse 37. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on in verse 40, it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Ricky, why would Peter tell them in verse 40 to be saved from this perverse generation?
Well, it's because they had to do something themselves. They had to do that repentance he mentioned in verse 38. They also had obviously learned the truth, and it pricked their heart and caused them to know what God expects. And then there was something else they had to do. Not only were they to believe, they were to repent, but they were to be baptized. And as they did these things, it says in verse 47, that the Lord himself added them to his church. And they did this in response to what they had heard, the truth by Peter. And so they received the word with all readiness of mind and were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added. And what were they added to? Verse 47 says, the Lord himself added them to his church. Now, can we go join ourselves to his church on our terms? No. We just do what he says, and he's the one that adds us to his church. The word church simply means his group, his assembly, those people that belong to him. And so that's what we want to be identified with when we meet him one day. Yeah, we want to see that his smiling face on that judgment day as we stand before him, and him being able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Well, that's just the first example. There's a whole lot more in Acts, isn't there?
Yeah, there definitely is a lot more examples. And as you were to go through the book of Acts, you would see that over and over and over again, that obedience to God is what pleased him. One thing we want to point out is there's a lot of things going around where people are kind of confused about what obedience to God is. Obedience to God is simply learning his word and applying it to your life. When you show obedience to God, that's showing your love for him. That's showing your faith in him when you obey what his word says. If you look in Mark chapter 2, there's a story of where a paralyzed man was being brought to Jesus, and they couldn't get to him because the crowd was so heavy and so large. So they had to bring this paralyzed man down through the roof just so he could get close to Jesus. And verse 5 says something amazing. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. That's what we want. That's how we can know we are saved. When Jesus sees our faith, he forgives our sins.
So does that mean we have to be let down through a roof in order for that to be done?
That means we have to do something to show Jesus our faith.
Yes,
and as we look through what those people did in Acts chapter 2, how they received that word, Peter told them to be baptized. In verse 38, he told them, repent and be baptized. And then in verse 40, he told them, be saved from this perverse generation.
Yeah. So
and then the very next verse is when they obeyed that.
That's exactly right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're fast approaching the end of our program today. We want you to know how very much we appreciate your desire to know the truth. It will be that same truth that will set us free from the bondage of sin, from the darkness that the devil would have us be in. It will set us free from the confusion that is being caused by the many different doctrines and teachings that are called today. God's word is clear. It is easy. Man makes it complicated and confusing. It is very easy. And so we should make certain that we're going to let God be the only one that's heard and that we are going to follow only his will so that when we meet him one day, he will be able to look down at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we desire. There's only one way. Yeah, there is. Jesus said, I am the way. And that means he's got all the say-so. So if he's got the whole authority, which he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, we better listen to him. That means you should not be listening to us. We've got to follow his word. And the only way that we can know about his word is to get into it and learn it for ourselves. So you can call right now the 553-5157 and get the Bible correspondence course on its way to you and know the truth so that it will set you free. And so, ladies and gentlemen, make certain you do that right now before you miss out on this week's offer. So call 553-5157 and we'll get it in the mail to you. So thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for listening. We hope and pray that you've been blessed. Be sure to tune in next week as we let the Bible speak.